The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 24, verses 1 through 9. It's on page 230 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of today. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and a lawyer named Tertullus, and they brought their charges against Paul before the governor. When Paul was called in, Tertullus presented his case before Felix. "We have enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your foresight has brought about reforms in this nation. Everywhere and in every way, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with profound gratitude. But in order not to weary you further, I would request that you be kind enough to hear us briefly. We have found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He is a ringleader of the Nazarene sect and even tried to discredit the temple, so we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to learn the truth about all these charges we are bringing against him." The other Jews joined the accusation, asserting that these things were true. Amen. The group of approximately 40 assassinators and the high priest, who took an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul, fixed a detailed plan how to kill Paul, confined in the Roman barracks. When the commander accepts the request by the group, headed by the high priest, to call Paul out to the Sanhedrin again, the assassinators would kill him from ambush in between the Roman barracks and the Sanhedrin. When heard the conspiracy, the commander, however, mobilized 470 soldiers in the middle of the night when all people were asleep and had them take Paul, a Roman citizen, to Felix, the governor of Caesarea. The group of the high priest and the assassinators didn't realize their plan had failed until the morning broke. Their plan went in vain. Caesarea was 104 kilometers away from Jerusalem. When there was no cars or trains, 104 kilometer distance was never short. But the fact that Paul was transferred to Caesarea 104 kilometers away didn't mean that the group of the high priest gave up on killing Paul. In the verse 1, 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and a lawyer named Tertullus, and they brought their charges against Paul before the governor. 5 days later, Paul was moved to Caesarea. The high priest Ananias went 104 kilometers down to Caesarea with some elders to accuse Paul to the governor, Felix. They were not alone. They were accompanied by the lawyer, Tertullus, whom they hired. Moreover, according to the verse 9, they even brought other Jews to unconditionally agree to their accusation. Like I have once mentioned, Ananias, who was in office from 48 to 59 as the high priest, was so corrupt and vicious that he embezzled the tithe offered to God and was always ready to assault or kill people, according to the historian Josephus. In other words, he was an immoral businessman who used the Lord and only satisfied his own interests. Such an unrighteous high priest, Ananias, now appears in court with a big group of accusers before the governor Felix to kill Paul. The Bible introduces Tertullus, who was hired by the group of high priests as a lawyer. But the Greek word rhetor, derived from the verb rheo, meaning speak, originally means speaker or utterer. The time of today's scripture is assumed at around 58, and the time in the Roman Empire, anyone who was able to professionally practice the law without any required qualification. Especially those who were rhetorical and with legal expertise were popular. Unlike those, there were actual lawyers called iuris consulti who were trained with professional legal education, but they were the high class engaging in legal advice or policy instead of practicing law in court. They were known to be critical about speakers being a paid lawyer. Tertullus in the scripture was a speaker and professionally practiced the law in court. He was the same lawyer of today in that he defended the accused for a consideration, but different in that he wasn't legally and publicly qualified by the nation. As long as Paul was transferred to the Roman governor Felix, the group of the high priest needed a new plan to have Paul sentenced to death. In the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish justice body could sentence the capital punishment only based on their religious law. In contrast, in the court of the Roman governor, Paul should have violated the positive law to be sentenced to death. But as a Roman citizen, he never had violated the law of Roman Empire. Accordingly, the group of the high priest hired Tertullus, who was a speaker and lawyer, and appeared in court in order to use his oratory to induce death sentence for Paul. In the verse 2, when Paul was called in, Tertullus presented his case before Felix. The governor Felix called Paul from the palace of Herod to the court, and Tertullus began with his argument armed with rhetoric. In the verse 3, "We have enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your foresight has brought about reforms in this nation. Everywhere, in every way, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with profound gratitude." As an orator, Tertullus started his defense with a compliment to the governor Felix. His compliment, however, was far from the truth. From 52 to 60, when Felix was in office as the 11th governor of Judea, there were unceasing disturbances in a large and small scale. Felix, who made it to the governor from a slave and were crazed about bribes, even had ignored a gang of thieves who assaulted citizens because of the bribe. There were no improvements in politics and society as well, based on his capability. The fact that Felix later was called by the Roman Emperor Nero also was due to his unrighteous deeds while abusing his authority. Therefore, when Tertullus thanked Felix for his foresight to bring peace and reforms to the people, it was nothing but rhetoric to flatter him. And then Tertullus got down to cases from verse 4 to 9. But in order not to weary you further, I request that you be kind enough to hear us briefly. We have found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He's a ringleader of the Nazarene sect and even tried to desecrate the temple. So we seized him. By examining him yourself, you'll be able to learn the truth about all these charges we are bringing against him. The other Jews joined in the accusation, asserting that these things were true. The accusation made by Tertullus wasn't that long, but it contained all the points necessary to bind Paul based on the Roman law. The first point that Tertullus made was that Paul was a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. The origin of riots is stasis in Greek and means uprising and revolt. With the standard of medical treatment and preventive measures at the time, it was extremely difficult to prevent and treat infectious diseases. If Paul was such a dangerous person, as translated in some other versions of the Bible, so he caused Jews to start riots and revolts, it must have been a big deal for the governor Felix, who was troubled with big and small disturbances in his term. The charges brought by the Tertullus wasn't something to ignore if found true. The second point of Tertullus' accusation was that Paul was the ringleader of the Nazarene sect. The Greek word hieresis, translated as sect in this scripture, means faction. Tertullus used this word to mean an unrighteous sect. The Nazarene sect represented that Jesus was from Nazareth. Since Paul made people to start riots wherever he might stay, Paul wasn't just an ordinary citizen, but a head of unrighteous Nazarene sect, which meant that the sect was fully able to rise in arms, depending on Paul. The last point of Tertullus' accusation was that Paul tried to desecrate the temple. However, none of the points that Tertullus was making were truth about Paul. It was just an argument and rhetoric of Tertullus. The accusation of Tertullus about Paul was identical to that made by the Jews to Pontius Pilate to bring charges against Jesus around 30 years before the time of today's scripture. At the time, the Jewish leaders accused Jesus of blasphemy, saying that Jesus called himself as the Son of God. But to Pontius Pilate, they accused of Jesus as a political offender that he called himself as the King of Judea. That way only, Jesus could be sentenced to death in accordance with the Roman law. The same goes to Tertullus. Jewish people falsely accused Paul of blasphemy against the temple. They tried to stone Paul to death. But a speaker, Tertullus, hired by the Jews, accused Paul of a political offender who planned a riot, rebellion, and an armed uprising. It was because that was the only way they could induce a death penalty for Paul based on the Roman law. Tertullus failed to present any evidence to prove his accusation was true. Instead, he closed by saying that by examining him yourself, you will be able to learn the truth about all these charges we are bringing against him. Tertullus didn't say that by examining him yourself, you will be able to learn the truth about all these charges I am bringing against him. He used we instead of I as the subject. That meant that his accusation was made for his client, the high priest, and the group, and everything in the accusation was true. It was the sixth year since Felix took office as the governor of Judea. In such a period, not too short, the group of the high priests regularly offered a great deal of bribe to the governor Felix to maintain and strengthen their rights under the colonial rule of the Roman Empire. Therefore, the closing of Tertullus was a subtle pressure to the governor that he had to rule for the group of the high priest in return for the bribes. This showed how experienced orator he was. Then the other Jews joined in the accusation, asserted that these things were true, adding pressure to the governor Felix. Tertullus was a rhetor, speaker, armed in rhetoric. A speaker should be able to logically persuade the counterpart and intellectual enough to be logical. He also should have dignity and manner to win the heart of the counterpart. Tertullus must have been so outwardly, and his expression was very sophisticated and correct as a speaker. The argument he made, however, was cunning and all lies. He slashed Paul with his tongue to kill him. He wouldn't even try to figure out whether what he argued was true or not. He was just fully wielding his well-trained skill to bind Paul and kill him based on the Roman law. No matter how many would matter, how could speak what was not true as a truth? In this respect, rather than the group of the high priest who hired Tertullus, Tertullus, who was paid and tried to kill Paul with his rhetorical skill, was even worse. But such evil Tertullus was not alone. The sixth commandment is not to murder. Most of Christians would be innocent about this commandment. They have never killed a person with an arm. As we learned in the mature believers class, however, this resulted from the literal understanding of the commandment. In regard to the commandment, told us as follows. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raka," is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire hell. Raka means an idiot. Jesus says that to criticize your brother as a fool or an idiot is already a murder. Let's say that I cursed someone who's absolutely normal as a moron. That means that at the very moment, I have killed him already in my mind. This is the reason that the John 1, chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer." So the commandment, "You shall not murder," is an order of God not to kill others with arms. And at the same time, not to insult or damage one's life in any way. However, there are so many Tertulluses who kill others because of money in our society. A TV show titled Food X File shows way more restaurants that we can't trust than those we can't. It is to earn more profit for low cost. There was a recent case that caused a trouble by using an expired ingredient for middle and high school meals. There are so many junk foods as well. Messing with food, which is directly related to life because of money, is murder. Fraudulent construction to earn more profit is also a murder for the residents. If a manufacturer contaminates air and river by releasing contaminated materials, that should be a murder for those who breathe and drink such air and water. If someone speculates real estate and deprive those who need to buy a house of such chance, that's a murder against those who dream of living in their own house without worries. If you produce toys or kids' goods with cheap and hazardous materials, that's a murder for children. If a game company sells a game to make money out of destroying the hearts and mind of the youth, that is a murder against the young. If a transportation company failed to thoroughly maintain its vehicles or load an excessive amount of freight, that's a murder against the passengers. If a public officer neglected diligently checking organizations or facilities that are directly linked to the life of people, if a doctor excessively treats a patient or have a patient go under surgery because of money, that's a murder. If a soldier was involved in military corruption when they had to protect people's life, that's a murder against the people. Those who took the life of many people due to the sterilizer of humidifier are never an exception. As such, there are many tortellises around us. Even if they could look sophisticated and dignified with the money they earned that way, in front of God, there's no difference with Tertullus, who subtly tried to kill Paul because of money. Starting on the 28th of this month, the Act on the Prevention of Illegal Requests and Bribery will take effect. This law is also called as Kim Young-nan Act, named after the former Justice Kim Young-nan, who initiated this law back in June 2011. By the enforcement of this law, our society has a groundbreaking change to get rid of the abnormal and unnecessary bubbles. The enforcement ordinance unveiled on the past May 9th included stipulations about the price ceiling of meals, gifts, and money gifts for special occasions, as well as articles regarding bribery. Ceilings are as follows: 30,000 won for meals and other foods, 50,000 won for gifts except money and foods, and 100,000 won for money gifts including the flowers. The fact that various interest groups voice concerns over this law, that its enforcement could slow down our economy, indicates that our society was surrounded by the abnormal bubbles. Unreasonably high price of residence, prices, and vanity the high corruption index, all these are not irrelevant to these abnormal bubbles. As first introduced, there could be some unexpected problems to be raised in the beginning. But the intent and the spirit of this law to stand our society upright, healthy, and normal should be protected by all of the people, especially by us Christians. Former Justice Kim Young-nan gave a lecture at the Yanghwa-jin Thursday Lecture on March 20, 2014, under the theme of Proposal for the Fair Korean Society. This lecture can be viewed on the website of Yanghwa-jin Institute. I have lived in Switzerland for 3 years, while having stayed in Japan and Germany for several months, respectively. I also have traveled tens of countries for the past 40 or so years. For Japanese people, a thank you gift is a small box of cookies. For West Europeans, it's a card or flowers, if assumed really necessary. That's all. I have never seen anyone in advanced society giving and receiving a big gift in daily lives like us. Should we not create a better and healthier society? Since the foundation of our church, other than the sharing to practice love for neighbors, it's only the members of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Foundation who established this church who received our regular gifts. We have sent 100,000 won worth gifts 3 times in a year on New Year's Day, the yearly anniversary of the church foundation, and Chuseok. However, starting from this coming Chuseok, we'll send gifts worthy of around 50,000 won following the Kim Young-nan law. There have been some members who have sent me some gifts of fruits or beef for traditional holidays, but I will not accept it from this Chuseok. I'd like to kindly ask for your understanding. To avoid unnecessary rearrangement, if you have a plan to send me a gift, share the love with your neighbors in need in the name of Jesus Christ. There is one important thing that we should not forget. The faith, will, and patience of one person, Kim Young-nan, former Commissioner of National Committee of Human Rights and Interests, induced the national agreement to get rid of the abnormal bubbles in spite of the great opposition and resistance. Then can we not weed out those who insult and damage the life of others because of money? Can we not make our society into a place where those who do such acts feel shame? For such society to become a reality, Christian, among others, should refrain from insulting or damaging the life of others because of money. That is, no matter what we do, we should be God's disciples who save the life of man in the Lord, who came down to the earth to save humans. Those who hurt the life of people because of money should be humiliated. That is the way to save them as well. Tertullus attempted to kill Paul with his rhetoric because of money. Poor Paul tried to save people, but was confined in the palace of Herod. The hand of God, which is not too short, however, stayed with Paul in the palace of Herod and renewed the history of men through him. Let us be the Paul who's poor but saves people, not Tertullus who killed people because of money. God, whose arm is never too short, will recover this society which does not respect the life of man into a place where the life of people are respected. Let us pray. Lord, now we have a groundbreaking chance to remove the abnormal bubbles based on the faith, will, and patience of one person, Kim Young-nan, the former justice. We thank you that you reaffirmed how important the role of one person is in this society. Regardless of being an applicant of Kim Young-nan Act or not, may the Christians be at the forefront of establishing this society sound and normal, following the intent and spirit. We thank you that you allowed us to realize that Tertullus, who tried to kill Paul with a tongue because of money, was actually us through today's scripture. We repent that the reason that there is a penchant to make light of the life of people is because I was the main culprit and also an accomplice. Have your mercy on us and forgive us. From now on, may we live a life to save others, getting out of the life like Tertullus, hurting the life of others because of money. Help us be like Paul, who was poor but saved people. Let those who hurt the life of others because of money to be humiliated before us. May our society be recovered as a world where the life of man is respected thanks to each one of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.